destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening. This is Robert Lee Camp. Welcome to my show, the Mr. Destiny Radio Show, we call it. It's a name I earned quite a few years back when I was doing a lot of radio shows. Some of the hosts of the shows came up with this Mr. Destiny name, and I just thought, oh, that's kind of fun. I always liked that movie, Mr. Destiny. The show is about destiny in a lot of ways, your destiny, your birthday, and how it reveals your destiny. So we'll be doing readings later in the show, starting around 7:30 Pacific time. And you're welcome to call in on one of the three lines, or four lines, I think there's three or four now. Call in and have a question, give us your name, birthday, where you're from. And then when your turn comes up, I'll be happy to talk to you and address the questions that you may have. A lot of people who listen to this show are already, I'd say probably most of the people listening to this show are already studying the card system that I use. They've purchased my books and they're reading, and some of them are quite good at the readings themselves. And well, that's what's really amazing about this system, is that really anybody can learn this system. It was made to be accessible. It was made to be accessible by everyone. And that's what really drew me to this system more than anything, was here's a system that's meant for everybody, not some exclusive, secret, you know, only known to a few. Now, I should say that, honestly, the system was kept secret for a long time, because there was a lot of time that passed in the Earth's history where there was so much darkness on the Earth that revealing this kind of knowledge could have proved fatal for anybody. So there was a point. There was time for quite a while when this knowledge was kept secret intentionally for that reason. But that is past now. The gates have flown open, and now it's available to everybody. You can take advantage of it for your life. And it's one of the easiest systems. This is what's amazing. It's one of the easiest systems to learn, and yet it provides stunningly accurate information about you, about your relationship, about your life on a broad basis, and about specifics about every month of your year, even. So I hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity to participate on the show tonight by calling in when the time comes. I'll be announcing it. It'll be after our first break. Customarily on this show, we first talk about today. Today's February 2nd. We are in Aquarian territory now. And a lot of famous people were born today. This is a 10 of spades and 5 of spades. Day. This is super worker. People who are born today are super doers. They do things never in a small way, always in a big way. Whatever they do, it's always done in a grandiose style. There's a conflict in this birthday between career and family. The Ten of Spades card has two karma cards. One of them, and they're both, well, I should say both of them are home cards, family cards, that being the Four of Hearts and the Queen of Hearts. So there's a strong pull for that, and yet they are a 10, and 10s want to excel. 10s want to accomplish something in this lifetime. So you have an inherent conflict, and you'll see this manifest in their lives. Some 10s will, they'll go back and forth from career to family. A good example of that is somebody born today, Christie Brinkley, model, then married to Billy Joel, had children, kind of gave up modeling, then went back to career. We also have Shakira born today. We also have Farrah Fawcett born today. Graham Nash is born today. And Tommy Smothers is born today. These are all the ones that I know of. So, you know, and it's a 5 of spades ruling card, so that puts another wrinkle into the story, this five of spades being very restless and wanting their freedom and probably willing to do and try almost anything. I mean, fives, you have to see that, you have to understand that fives are all about like experience in life, having experiences. And along those lines, a five person will do things that no one else would consider doing. Maybe they, because they were dangerous, for example. Five will do things that are dangerous. Other people would not even consider doing. One example. A good friend of mine, his birthday is today. If you're listening, Dan, happy birthday. And, he told me about his younger days when he used to, smuggle drugs into the country. And it wasn't like a small amount of drugs. It was massive amounts of drugs, like shiploads of drugs, because that's the way that ten of spades will do things. So if your birthday's today, and I did actually have a customer who called today who's having a birthday today, happy birthday and hope you have a great year. This ten of spades, by the way, is a very marriageable birthday. Even though they're restless and ambitious, marriage is almost a sure thing, a foregone conclusion for people born today. It's a very strong part of their makeup, family and home. So they're definitely going to do it, at least once, and maybe even more than once. Okay? So that concludes our little introduction to today. Announcements-wise, if you have Facebook and you haven't tried our free Destiny Facebook application, you'll love it. It's a lot of fun. You get to see who your karma cards are, and you get to see who you're connected to with all your Facebook buddies. So that's available. If you can't find it for any reason, just do a search for Destiny Cards. I think it's called My Destiny Cards, actually. Let me see. The exact name is, yes, My Destiny Cards is the name of the application. You can do a search for it, and you can find it really quickly in Facebook. Or if you want to email me, I'll be happy to send you the link where you can install it into your Facebook and use it. It's a lot of fun. LoveCardsDating.com is also growing day by day. We have a lot more people there now. If you haven't checked in lately, it'd be a good time to check in and see there's a lot of new people in there, a lot more people to choose from of all different ages. And if you have a profile there, get a picture up. I don't know why people just don't put their pictures up. You have to put a picture up. It's really important. I mean, it really means it's just putting your picture up is like saying, outright, I'm really interested in meeting somebody. Hiding and not putting a picture up is almost like the opposite. So get a picture up there on your profile and watch what happens. Watch what can happen for you. That's what I would like. I'd like to see some of these people meet somebody really perfect for them. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I would certainly love to see that. Okay, and now we have a topic for this evening. Oh, by the way, the class that's coming on the 19th is now full. We might make room for one more person or two if they really want to come. If you think you want to come, you can read about it on my website and contact me directly, and I'll see if we can fit you in. But it's full. But we always seem to have room for one or two more if we need it. Okay. The topic tonight is about consciousness. I want to ask you, imagine for a moment. Have you ever been driving, and I'm sure most of you have experienced this, if not all of you. You're driving, and you all of a sudden realize that you can't remember driving the last 20 minutes, 20 miles, or even an hour. You don't remember driving. You just wake up all of a sudden and go, wow. I don't remember driving the last hour. Has this ever happened to you? If it has happened to you, where do you think you were while you were driving? Where were you? Where were you? The you that you think you are. And would you say that during that hour, you were actually conscious? Were you aware? On some level, of course, you were aware because you were managed to drive without wrecking your car. But where were you? And were you aware of what was going on? You don't remember any of it. There's no memory of what happened in the last, whatever that time period was, whether it was 10 minutes or an hour. You're not, there is no, in other words, you are unconscious during that period. Now, I'm not judging this. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just pointing it out to you that there's this level of consciousness that's often missing in our life. And it happens a lot. Another thing is, like, if we're really upset, like, if something is bothering us, we have accidents frequently when this happens. Have you noticed this? You'll have some kind of a mishap when this occurs. And this happens to everybody as well. I mean, most people will have this experience during those times when they're upset. They'll notice, oh, wow, they'll learn from that. They'll say, you know, I should really be careful if I'm upset, like not to drive a car or something along these lines. And now, not everybody's accident prone, but those people that are accident prone really know after a while, wow, don't drive when I'm upset. Because if you're already accident prone, your chances are much greater you're going to have an accident if you're upset and doing something that requires what? Requires attention. Requires consciousness. So this is what we're talking about. And what we see in the world is that all of us are evolving. On some level, we're evolving from lower consciousness to higher consciousness. Now, I don't like to use that expression because a lot of people will get up on that and try to say, well, who's better than who? Use it as a way to kind of make somebody better than somebody else. And that's not my intention. Because we're all really on the same boat. And that boat is that we're all striving to have greater consciousness, whether we realize it or not. Whether we're conscious of it or not, I should say. So whether we're conscious of it or not, we're all striving and evolving into higher consciousness slowly but surely. I would say, though, that if you're really honest with yourself, you'll see that your awareness is glued primarily on your thinking, on your mind. And that is not the highest level of awareness. Because when we're thinking, our attention is diverted from what's going on around us. And this is just something that's common to almost everybody in the human race. There are exceptions, of course, but not many. There are a few people who've evolved and learned to be more conscious and so forth. But this is not the greater majority. Most of us are unconscious. There was a series of books that I read by a guy named Tom Brown, and you might have read some of his books too. I think one is called The Tracker or The Scout. I forget the names of them, but basically he was just a regular guy, but in growing up in New Jersey, but his best friend, his next door neighbor, his grandfather of his friend, this kid, was a genuine scout, Indian scout. And he taught Tom Brown and his friend and his grandson the art of scouting and the art of tracking and the art of stalking, like stalking prey. And his books are all about that. And I remember one of the things I remember a lot from that book is that he said that stalking humans is extremely easy to do, because they never see you. They would learn to sneak up on animals. Like, you know, he got so good they could sneak up on a deer. They would have their bodies all sort of camouflaged, and they would just, one of their tests was just to see if they could sneak up and surprise an animal in the wild. And that was if you could pull that off, that was a great accomplishment. But stalking humans was, he said, it was the easiest thing. And unless they had a dog with them. If they had a dog, it was a little harder. But even the dogs, they said, would be pretty much more unconscious than wild dogs because these dogs were around humans so much. So the humans, being in a mind-dominated state, we're not that aware. So it's easy for somebody to sneak up on us or to be around us, something to be going on that we're just not catching. And this is not a state of higher consciousness. Higher consciousness is being aware. Being aware. Being an openness. Being an openness to receive from whatever's happening, both outside of you and inside of you. And that's an important distinction. It's not just what's going on outside that we're not catching. It's also stuff that's going on inside. You know, when we're lost in thought, we're actually losing everything. We're not feeling anything. And actually, we escape into things to not feel, you know, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, work to some people, movies, video games, and even sex. A lot of things that we do in life we can use them to avoid thinking or feeling. So we'll go into that, you know, and after a while, mind becomes almost like a parasite. I don't know, I think I've mentioned this before, but have you ever woken up in the morning and thought, oh my God, another day of being tortured by my mind? I certainly have had that thought before. You know, like, this is so much, this thinking mind of mine is just never, unrelenting. Thinking. And it's primarily worry, you know. It's either worrying about the future or fantasizing about the future, or it is mulling over the past in some way. See? It's very interesting how it all comes together. But you have to understand that there's like levels of consciousness. Sleeping is unconsciousness, and we kind of evolved out of a sleeping state to get to the point where we have a mind, and now we have a mind. We as a human race, we have a mind. And we've been in this mind state for a long time. It's been very constructive in some ways. It's a tool we can create and build and have all kinds of things that we want through the utilizing of our thoughts. And when we drink alcohol, we go back into unconsciousness. And we do that intentionally sometimes to get out of the mind, because the mind has a sort of a big liability of its own, which is the worry part. The negative thinking, the pessimism, the being problem-centered. And, you know, you're not really very happy when you're in your mind a lot. You'll notice that, you know, you're always waiting for something to happen. We're always waiting for something good to happen. We can't be happy now. We have to be happy sometime in the future. Whenever that thing is that we're looking for, waiting for, will come in. Whenever this happens, that's when we're going to be happy. That's how it works. That's how the mind-dominated existence plays out in real life. Can't be happy now. Now that whole sort of being, way of being, where we're always waiting for happiness to come, and sort of anxious, because at the same time that we're expecting or wanting good things to happen, we're also worried about that something bad will happen too. That's another function. That's another thing the mind is doing all day long. It's being concerned about what might happen to me. And then, so you have a combination of fantasizing about good things happening and being really scared about bad things that might happen. It's a combination of those two that's going on over and over and over again. Sleeping, alcohol, and other things take us back into unconsciousness. And sometimes, honestly, it's a relief to go there, because we have been so worried or so frustrated by the thought that anything that can relieve us of our thinking is a blessing. It feels like a blessing. But it's going backwards. It's not really coming to a higher place of consciousness in our life. It's not a place of where you have a choice, or where the mind is present but not torturing you. There's another way, in other words. There's another way. And it's not about not thinking. I mean, there's no way you're going to stop your mind from thinking. Do you know of any way to stop your mind from thinking? I mean, if you do, please call in tonight and share with us how you can stop your mind on a consistent basis. I've never met anybody who can do it, actually, and maybe somebody can. I'd like to meet them. start to find out what the trick is. But what we can do is we always have the choice over our awareness. Believe it or not, you do have a choice over your awareness. You have a choice always. This is probably the most important power that we have in our life, is that we always have the ability to choose where we focus our attention. Isn't that amazing? We always have the ability and the power to choose where we place our attention. Now, even if you're under terrible duress or stress, there is always the opportunity in those moments to place your attention somewhere. Okay? We all do that. We have that power. Now, this is not saying, not commanding yourself to stop thinking. It's not doing that. That's not what we're talking about. It's just deciding to place your awareness where you want to, where you choose. Like right now, you're listening to me talk, if you are listening, and you're hearing the words, and as you're hearing the words, your mind is responding, thinking, or analyzing, or commenting, or categorizing, or comparing whatever I'm saying, which is what the mind does. It categorizes, compares, comments on, so forth. But right now, even as I'm speaking, you have the power. You could choose to put your awareness, let's say, on your breathing. You could just stop. And even though I'm talking, you could put your attention on your breath. And you could feel it, your lungs expanding and contracting. Then with that breath, you can just feel, well, how am I feeling inside? Am I feeling relaxed? Am I feeling stressed? Am I feeling... And then you could go into your emotional body and say, well, am I feeling sad, happy, safe, stressed, you know, whatever. You could just check in. And that's awareness. That's the power of your awareness right there. That's you choosing to experience, to feel whatever it is you're feeling and to be with what is inside of you. You could also focus your attention on something outside of you. You could choose instead of, and you wouldn't be choosing to not think, you'd just be choosing to do something else, which would be to be aware of, to be observant. Like if somebody cast you out, if somebody like all of a sudden put you on a ledge, on a building that was like the Empire State Building, really high up, and you only had 6 inches to stand on, and you had to scoot your way from one end of that ledge down to the other to get into a window, do you think you'd be thinking a lot, or do you think you'd be paying attention a lot? We naturally pay more attention when we're under stress. It's a natural thing. It's meant to protect us. Awareness levels will go up in times of incredible stress or fear or panic. Well, I'm not saying panic, really, because people do panic and then they die from things like I just described. You could actually die. But everybody has that choice in those moments to become more conscious. I remember when I used to run a lot, and we had this one trail we would run. We'd go up this mountain, which took forever to run up the mountain because we'd go up and run really slow because it was kind of steep and it took a long time. And even though I was young, it took a lot of energy. We get to the top of the mountain, and then we would run down. And running down was breathtaking because there were lots of rocks, and we would just go at a really pretty fast pace. We would run, and it's like every moment you had to be aware. So the thrill of that came from losing consciousness, like losing thought and being in the moment. That's where the real energy of doing that came from. It was really, really powerful to run down the mountain like that. Where every step, and I would just watch, I would just sit back and watch how something inside of me knew where my foot would fall next. I could look ahead and see where my foot would land on the path before it happened. Not that I was planning it, I was just noticing how some part of me already picked that place to put my foot. And that's consciousness. Now, there's also times when I was doing that and all of a sudden I got really in my head and then I fell, tripped and fell. That's what being in the head will do. You can't be running down a mountain with all kinds of rocks and stuff if you're thinking too much. That's how it goes. So at any moment in time, we all have a choice to focus our attention wherever we want. And in the act of focusing our attention on something other than our thoughts, we are becoming more conscious. And it happens automatically in certain situations like I described when you're in an emergency. It will also happen if you see something breathtaking like a beautiful sunset, which I saw one recently. And I remember when we were flying down to Florida, I looked out the window and to the right of us, to my right, over my right shoulder, the sun was setting and we were up at like 37,000 feet or something. And it was just this bright orange glow across the horizon and everything else was black and it was just so stunningly beautiful that I just stopped and my mind stopped for a split second there. And you'll notice that for whatever time you spend being aware that there is like a breath of fresh air that comes in to your being. The best way I can describe it. For every moment that we spend focused on something other than our thoughts, we get rejuvenated by that. Just being. I woke up last night in the middle of the night really, really worried. And this happens to me. I've mentioned it to some of my clients because you know, a lot of my clients are just like me. They have a lot of fear, and I want them to know that it's not the most impossible thing to deal with. So I'll share with them my own experiences of how I deal with my fear. Well, last night was one of these nights when a lot of fear just came up for no really apparent reason. And it was really intense. It seems to be way more intense early in the morning or late at night like that than it is any time during the day. And I'm not sure why, it just is. So it was very difficult for me to not, and I noticed that my mind was, the fear was coming from these really vivid imaginations of something really bad happening to me. You know, and I'm not going to go into details about what exactly that was, but just in general, it was just things that, you know, I would be afraid that they would happen. So I was just observing that, but I was really afraid and I was unable to stop it. So I decided then just to put my awareness on the feeling I was feeling, which was being really scared. And just the act of taking my attention from my thoughts that kept generating all these fears and just feeling how I was feeling about that, you know, just feeling that fear that was there and feeling how that felt in my body, you know, my chest and breathing, everything. That had a really fast effect of calming me down, and all of a sudden I was not as panicked about what I was experiencing, see, what I was going through there with my fearful thoughts. So even in the most stressful conditions, we have a choice about where we are to place our attention, and that's the key. And you know, it's really interesting, the more we can connect with that place where there is nothing. And this is an interesting concept that I'm just going to take a minute to explain. You know, our life is, in our lives today, we are always focused on things. Eckhart Tolle calls it forms. We're totally into the forms of things. But we forget that there's this field from which all forms come from. It's like when you're looking up at night at the stars, you know, and we look up at the sky and we're always amazed at the stars in the sky. But what really brings that sense of incredibleness and amazement when we look up at the sky at night is the space which the stars are occupied or sitting in. It's that space that really creates that sense of amazement and wonder. And this is what we don't have enough of in our life, in our spaces. Spaces. We're also focused on forms, thought forms, people, stuff, that we rarely stop to sense that stillness, that vastness of stillness that is present, where all these things arise out of. It's really great, and what I do is I go out into the woods, where I live, you can't really get completely away from man-made sounds. It's just too populated here in Northern California, where I live. But still, when I go out into the woods and go up some of these canyons, it gets pretty quiet up there. And the loudest sounds are the animals, birds mostly, in the woods. And just sitting there and closing my eyes and just taking in all that, those sounds. And then all of a sudden, little sounds become very big. But then just tuning in to that place, that essence of nothing, from which the sounds arise, like there's a silent space, and the sounds come out of that silent space. Being connected with that always, always rejuvenates. And you'll notice that if you do even get a split second of that connectedness, that these amazingly wonderful, beautiful ideas will emerge out of your mind. Eckhart says that all artistic ideas, beautiful ideas, come from that space of consciousness. Though most artists aren't aware of that. They're not aware that's where they come from. But that's where they come from. And you can actually get to a point in practice where you can actually create that. You can consciously go to that place and get as many ideas as you would ever need for anything. So this is the power of consciousness. Once we do start to become more conscious, and it starts right now. It starts now with, where would you choose to direct your attention? There's no end to the beauty and the magnificence of fulfillment that awaits us all here and now. All we have to do is be present to what's going on and take our attention off of our mind and onto what's happening. It's not like we're making anything up. It's not like an affirmation where you visualize something and imagine it. You're not trying to create something that's not here. You're just being aware of what's here. It's already here. Just be aware of it. That's the trick. That's all there is. And speaking of spaces, it's time for our break. So we're going to have a short break. I need to open up my chat window for Seth so he can communicate with me. Birthdays of people that might have called in. Perhaps you've already called in. I'll be on here in just a second. Now's the time to call in if you have some questions. We'll be back after this break. We're going to play a song from my CD called Bhakti Rock. And on this break, we're going to play the song called Rama Rama. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, and we'll have some wonderful conversations about the power of consciousness. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I remember on Oprah when she was interviewing Eckhart Tolle on her webcasting thing that she had for a while, that, you know, he has this habit of just creating spaces there, and he was just silent, and she goes, and she kind of freaked her out, like, oh, we don't have silence on the radio, on TV, or on broadcast. It's not a good thing. Anyway, welcome back. We have lines full, I think, or almost full. Our first caller is from Tucson. Her name is Monica. Her birthday is July 29th, 1953. Are you there, Monica?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, Robert.
Oh, there you are. I couldn't hear you there for a minute.
Hi. I'm here.
I couldn't hear you. Monica?
Yes.
You got to turn the radio off.
I got to turn it off, yeah. Hi.
Turn off your internet radio. Okay, is it off?
Yes, it is.
Okay, now speak up.
Hello, how's that?
That's better. Thank you.
There we go.
Okay, what can I do for you tonight, Monica?
Hi, Robert. Well, I'm sitting here with an old friend of yours, Colleen Garland, and her daughter, Khalil. And she's been my friend for over 25 years. And she encouraged me to give you a call. She's visiting me in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, wow.
And And she's just told me wonderful things. I've just enjoying your music greatly. That was wonderful. I had never heard that before. Really, very, very enchanting. But actually, I have kind of a serious question. My husband and I have actually built something for the first time on the planet. And you're talking about fear tonight, so I have to say, when you develop something totally brand new, and you spend all your money doing it, and you're here to help mankind, and you wonder why the money isn't flowing in, you have to get worried. So right now, that's kind of the question that I have. We built an interstellar light collector, and you were talking a little bit about the stars, too. That was interesting to me. It collects moonlight and light from other star systems like Sirius, and beams it down onto people and things. And that's what we have developed.
Oh, well, that sounds real interesting.
Yeah, it is. And we put our life savings into it. It probably brings the full moon down to about 300 times the full moon. But right now, my question is, of course, about the success of something like this. We've been going about 5 years into it now, with the last 2.5 years, having people come and be in it. And it seems to be, very helpful with health problems, asthma, all sorts of cancers. Interesting. It's very interesting what it's been doing. And it's been changing us, but at the same time, I have financial worries like we all have. I'm a person.
What's your husband's birthday, Mark?
My husband is 11. He's 11, 25, 52.
Okay. In this system, there are cards for every year of your life, and these will indicate trends for the year and specific time periods when things will happen. And there's also, of course, cards that indicate financial success that one would have. And I see, you've got this project going on, and somehow, even though it's been costing you a lot of money, I think you're still doing okay, aren't you?
Well, we're actually nearing the end of our own financial abilities to keep. We've spent over $1.5 million. I'm not saying that we've spent like $10 or $20 on this. This has taken all of our time and energy. I think there was a moment in the universe where my husband took the leap, when he saw something and said, the way medical science is going needs to be improved. Chemotherapy is worse than the disease almost half the time. And we started wondering about other options. And we took the leap, and we put all our money where our mouth is, as they say. And now we're running out of our own money. And that's kind of the fear that we have, that before this can accomplish what it's meant to do, we might run out of money, I guess, where we're at.
Well, everything is in God's hands.
Yeah.
There's a timing to I do, looking into your future, I do see good finances in the future, but not until next year, 2010.
Oh, interesting.
So, there is something that's going to happen next year by which your husband's going to make a lot of money. I don't know what that'll be. It might be this, or it might be something else. But everything is perfect, Everything is perfect the way it is right now. And you're still, even though you're running out of money, you haven't run out of money yet.
Well, and that is true. We were supposed to have run out of money last April, and we somehow were squeezing by, keeping the pair of bones together. You are right. That's interesting.
And I'm just saying that, I understand that this fear of yours. I'm a Cancer, and Cancer, we worry about money more than anybody, I think. That's just like our nature, to worry about money. So I understand that fear that you would have around that. But at the same time, there's always something good that's happening right now. So as far as the cards go, I don't see any money problems this year or next year.
Well, that's good.
I just don't see any problems. I don't see this being as big an issue as it might appear to you at this moment. Okay?
Well, that's kind
and
of interesting.
I would say that, before things will ever get to the place where your imagination might take them, that money is going to come in. I'd be willing to bet.
That's really my hope, and if you're seeing that in the cards, I believe in that for sure.
Well, you know, I'd never tell anybody to believe in this system. I suggest that you test it for yourself. Because you can actually look in your past and see what happened as well. And see if it's in the book. You can test it. But either way, we'll see what happens, but I don't see this money thing being the problem. I do see that there's a need this year for your husband especially to have faith. And to proceed ahead, even though he has proved that it's going to be successful. He has that influence. He has the seventh stage as the long range card. That's
yes.
The card of
Helen
faith.
Helen is pointing that out to me right now.
Yeah.
She's sitting
good.
Me.
Yeah, yes. So she'll tell you about it. It's like, she can read you the interpretation out of the book. It's about having faith. And usually this happens to somebody when they're doing something just like you're doing. And they know they should be doing it, but there's no proof that it's going to actually turn out.
That's what faith is, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's
perfect
what it
definition.
Is. And if there wasn't a situation that called upon it, it probably wouldn't be there, you know what I'm saying? So by the way, you're a queen of hearts, and your husband is an eight of hearts. And you guys have, like, the perfect marriage connection together.
You are absolutely correct. We've been married many years, and we were together like 20 hours a day working and playing.
Yeah, it's you guys have a blessed marriage on so many levels. I can tell. That's something to be very, always take stock of these things. I remember, I wrote a book about prosperity, and this morning I woke up worrying about money in the middle of the night, and I had to practice my own teaching. I had to sit down and really start to look at, you know, wow, I'm living like a rich person here. What am I talking about?
I know exactly. In fact, when you said that, I turned to Colleen and said, I woke up in the middle of the night with that same fear. And I totally related to you. I knew I had to call you.
Yeah, it happens, you know. I mean, I don't even know when it's going to happen. It just happens. But, you know, it's just... That's an old pattern, see? That fear is an old pattern. It's not based on what's happening right now. It's based on the fear of an imagined future. Based on some past that didn't work out for them. It's really not possible.
You know, and when I'm in my right mind, I totally know that.
Yeah, well, you have to get back into the now and get out of your mind. When you say right mind, what you mean is get out of your mind. Just a
yeah,
little
that's
bit.
That's true. That's right.
Yeah.
That's the mind that totally knows that faith is what brought me here, and faith is going to continue. Why wouldn't it, right?
Exactly.
That is the way.
Well, I appreciate you calling.
Colleen is pointing out this result card on the Six of Clubs and the Nine of Clubs on my husband's chart and asking what does that mean, or asking me to ask you that.
Well, Six of Clubs... result that he has, it's about coming into his real purpose. All of his cards this year are about faith and purpose. All of them.
Yeah, that's exactly where we're at in our life right now. That's
and I'm sorry, but I can't find any money problem cards here anywhere.
Believe me, I won't wake up in the middle of the night then because I needed to hear something like that. It's interesting, you know, I always think the next corner is, you know, you turn the corner and the next thing is going to be the perfect thing. And I'm beginning to realize, you know, maybe I'm here to change the way I think the perfect thing is. You know, I do understand what you're saying about that, you know, that we all need to really change the way we're thinking. Obviously, the whole planet's changing so quickly right now that that's an obvious that we all need to do that. Yeah.
Well, you know, just realizing that the perfect thing is actually happening right now. And just asking, well, how come I don't see it? Or like taking a look and saying, well, where is it? Just questioning that would be a tremendous change.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I know
you're giving me a little bit of confidence. I do appreciate that. I've had quite a bit of it up until recently with this economy going the way it's been going, but I, you know, we all have to get together and band together. I think it's meant to slow us all down and connect to our real values again. I think that's what it's really all about.
Well, I think it's something. A lot of us need to have our values cleaned up a little bit. We've been a little bit like not valuing things as much, and so some of us are experiencing that. But the economy doesn't affect anyone's success or failure individually. It doesn't. You know, it only affects you if you already have things to work to change and to work on in that area. Like if you already had money fears, but you just had successfully avoided dealing with them for a long time, then they'll come up now. There is no economic problem right now. Not in my life.
Well, you know, if I stop and think about it, I'm fine too. Like I, you know, like you said, I have my roof over my head. I'm getting out as much as I possibly can, and
yeah.
Of, you know, feel good. And so
yeah.
I do believe
And I bet you have a pretty good thing going there wherever you're living, and a lot to be grateful. You know.
I do. You know, I have a very blessed life, and you can see I have a blessed relationship. So,
absolutely.
Not that much I worry for me. I guess I worry. That what we're developing, I feel it so strongly needs to help mankind, but I worry for some reason that if there's dark forces or something, I don't know what I believe in exactly, but dark forces might want to bring something so powerful down. And I get worried on that level of things, almost more than about my money in my pocket, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I don't think you have anything to worry about personally, just, you know, and I'm going to have to let you go now because I'm
okay.
I need to move on to other people, but it's been a pleasure talking to you.
I feel much better after speaking to you, and thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Great to meet you.
Okay.
Say hi
to
Colleen and Khalil.
I will.
All right. Good night.
Thank you so much. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, our next caller is from Georgia, waiting up late there to talk. And her birthday is also in July. She's July 18th, 1980. Her name is Stacy. Are you there, Stacy?
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Is this Stacy?
Yes, this is.
Hi, Stacy. How are you tonight?
Doing pretty good.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Thanks for staying up.
Oh, thank you.
So, what can I do for you this evening? Do you have a question?
Oh, yes. I love your love cards and destiny cards book. I've read both of those, and I enjoy them. And I have been looking lately at, I was manifesting and working with a career, and I'm doing great in it. I'm working about 50 to 60 hours a week, but I love what I do. But I was wondering, as far as true love and or marriage potential, is that something that is coming this year, or is that coming later in a few years? Because I know I have a 2-year-old that I take care of now from a previous divorce.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so I was kind of looking at that now.
Well, the first question to ask and to answer for yourself when it comes to relationship is, what do you want, you know?
Yeah.
But, see, your birthday is somewhat independent. Did you know that?
Yes, I'm noticing that because every single person who keeps coming, I keep letting them go because I feel like I'm not ready for that, or I end up, you know, being too particular.
Yeah, and, you know, there are parts of you that do not want to give up your freedom, you see.
Mm-hmm.
When you take all that into consideration, well, what kind of relationship do you want?
Yeah, well, I kind of want one where I can be able to do my career, they can do theirs, and we see each other, but we both have independent lives, and we're still together. You know, I have the freedom of being able to still pursue our individual lifestyles, but we have a family.
Okay, so do you want to live together with this person, or do you want to live separately?
You know what? Right now, I felt like it would be okay with me to just be in the same city as the person, but I wanted to...
You are so funny. I think I could handle it being in the same city, but... Not in the same house, forget that. You are so funny. Oh, somebody in this, within 1,000 miles might be okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Wanted, man who lives at least 300 miles away from me. Oh, getting a text for here. See, that's the whole thing. Like, the most important thing is for you to know what you want. Then you can always get it. Everybody can always get what they want.
Yeah,
they just got to know.
That's true.
You know? And everyone's different. There's nothing wrong with what you want. You know, but, I mean, you should take a look, though, at what you think you want, because you may be, the thing you're describing may not be actually possible, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because you're, it's almost a non-relationship. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have non-relationships with people. That's no problem. You can do that too. No big deal. You know, a lot of people are into
yeah.
that. And there's no rule.
As long as I don't give too much of my power to the relationship and not enough, you know, to my own individual goals. Because I tend to not
yeah,
be able
well,
to
you're, well. Yeah, well, you're a ten of clubs. Your career is always going to be extremely important to you. Always.
Okay.
So some cards that would be good for you would be a Queen of Hearts card. You're a Queen of Hearts, but another Queen of Hearts would be good for you.
Oh.
Also, a Six of Spades, okay, would be a good card for
okay.
you. Because,
okay.
Oh, even a Nine of Clubs, because these people will let you have your career, okay?
But they're still very loyal and faithful like I am.
Well, men aren't faithful. Where'd you get that idea? No, some men are faithful. I'm just kidding with you. Some men are definitely possible. If you get my book, Love Cards, there's a whole section in the back about who's marriageable and who's
okay.
not.
I didn't see that part. I'll look at that.
It's in the back. And there's a table back there that tells you, you know, every birthday, like every card, like which ones.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it explains also, it not only rates every card, but it also explains the reasons for each card. And, you know, it's not like that's a final word or anything. There are exceptions, but as a general rule, it's a really good resource to have and to look at, you know.
Yes.
A Queen of Hearts would be good because Queen of Hearts people are marriageable and they're good for you. So that's probably my best choice for you if I was to pick somebody.
Okay. Yeah.
But they might want a real. They might want a real relationship though from you. You know. So that may be the only problem. I guess we lost her there. Well, anyway, no big deal, Stacy. I think I answered your question. So you know, try a Queen of Hearts, and let me just take a look here. I think you could meet somebody any time. I mean, there's love cards from now until the end of your year to your next birthday. So be open and see what comes your way. Okay? All right, we're going to take another break now. And when we come back, we'll talk to Kathy from Sedona. And I think we have two lines open if you want to call in. So on this break, we're going to listen to another song from my CD called Sri Ram. We'll be right back after Sri Ram.
Ram. from. Hey, Hanuma, Lakshmana.
Welcome back. That was Sri Ram from Bhakti Rock. Hope you enjoyed that. If you like that music, you can go to my website, seventhunders.com, and you can actually order a copy of that CD for yourself. It has, I believe, 12 songs on it altogether. If you were listening, I believe it was a couple weeks ago. I think we might have played the whole CD after, because I had to leave early for a show. Anyway, our next caller is calling from, this is Sedona. Her name is Kathy. Her birthday's April 24th, 1944, 10 o'clock, King of Spades. Are you there, Kathy?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Have you called before?
I've not called, no.
Well, great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
You have a question?
Robert, I have a question about the spiritual spread and the life spread. In April, I'm going to be doing a 13-year shift in both of those spreads, and I was kind of wondering, what does that mean?
Well, one thing you should know is that these 13-year periods are not, the ending of one and the beginning of the other are not, like, clearly defined. They're not, like, concisely on that time, that year. They can vary. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, you would officially, if you were counting exact 13 years on your next birthday, you enter in the Uranus period of your life, and you leave the Saturn period of your life. So, it is happening, of course, but maybe not exactly next year. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right? First of all. And every period has a sort of an energy to it, and you can look at the cards that you have in that period to see what the energy is going to be, but it's a very broad influence, and it's very difficult to interpret because it's so broad. You have to kind of, it's almost like you see it more in retrospect than you do while it's happening. You see?
Okay.
Like your last 13 years have been focused on the Queen of Clubs and Six of Hearts card. Okay? Normally, that would mean a lot of focus for you on personal relationships.
Uh-huh.
Since 1996, okay?
Yes, that's true.
So, has that been true?
Yes, that has been true.
Okay, so if that's been true, your next 13 years are going to all be about work.
I thought I was retired. What do you mean?
Well, you cannot retire. You're at 10 of clubs.
I know.
You guys never retire. It's not even in your dictionary.
Yeah. I've sensed that since I've been retired.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, your life is not over yet. And perhaps some of your greatest achievements are yet to come.
Okay.
And changes. Five of Spades is also there, so I expect there to be travel or changes.
Okay.
You know, like moves.
I've been feeling in this last year, it's almost as though there has been a sense of completion and not really a new path right there in front of me. And then
yeah.
I discovered these 13-year cycles, and I thought, I was wondering if that's sort of what I'm probably feeling.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you seem to be somewhat aware, so you're aware, you kind of sense these things, and the book just confirms that for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, that's what's going on. Sure. So, yeah, I would say yes to all that. So, good things.
Okay.
And, you know, you want to look at the yearly spreads, to see what specifically you can expect, you know. You want to look at what's going on for you this coming year. And one thing about the cards that you should know is that once you learn the system a little bit, these cards represent opportunities. They don't have to happen. Okay?
I understand.
And every card can be interpreted on a lower side or a higher side. And we have a choice about that. So, like, you know, you can look at your cards for next year and you can say, okay, here's some potential. What do I want to do with it?
And then these other spreads give the energy to that. Is that what you're saying?
The other spreads are more of the broad cycle that you're in.
Okay.
But there's a lot of important years that, you know, that make up that. They give you how it comes about in the realm of time. See? It comes about one step at a time, in time. See? So what's your first step going to be on your birthday? Looking at your cards for next year, you study those cards and you say, look at the long range card, look at the Pluto result card, the environment, the displacement card, and say, okay, what am I going to make of this year?
All right.
You're a Ten of Clubs. You have to be the creator of it. You can't just say, oh, the cards made me do it. It's not going to work for you.
I understand that. I never lay blame.
Yeah, I know. I know that. You're a Ten, and the Aces and Tens are all like that. They're self-created individuals and usually self-responsible. There's some exceptions, but most of us, I should say, because I'm one of those, because I'm an Ace, self-responsible. We know that we're the ones to make it happen. There's an old saying, if it's to be, it's up to me, you know?
Okay.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what you create. It should be really interesting. And you
well,
have a few
I'll
months
let you
here.
Know.
You have a few months to dream that up.
Oh, I do. I do. This is
yeah.
the perfect time to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the perfect time. Especially in the Neptune period, it's a good time, which begins on March 3rd. That's the best time of the year to sort of visualize things and to have dreams about the future, but not to act on them until after your birthday.
Okay.
All right?
I thank you so much.
Great talking to you, Kathy. Have a great night.
Thanks. You too. Bye, Robert.
Good night. Ten of Clubs is like a kid in a candy shop with $100 in his pocket. He can have anything he wants. What does he want? Or what does she want? Our next caller is from Hawaii. Her name is Brenda. Her birthday is tomorrow, February 3rd, 1951. Are you there, Brenda?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Happy birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really excited about the coming year.
Excellent. So what plans would you, what would you do, like what would you have all these cards mean for you? If you could have your wish, what would you have happen in this coming year?
Oh, that's very exciting. Well, I'm planning on moving, so I would like to relocate, and I'd like to get married.
Okay, cool. Do you have somebody already lined up?
I do not.
Oh, okay, cool. You're available.
I'm very available.
Well, I do see several things. Are you ready for the good news?
Yes, sir.
You're definitely going to, at some point in the year, you're going to move to a much nicer home.
Okay.
You know, your whole living situation is going to be sort of upgraded. Okay? I'm not saying that where you are now is bad either.
I understand what you're saying. Uh-huh.
Be an upgrade. And there's love coming too, I'd say by April.
Wow.
Now your job is to become more social.
Okay.
You know, your job is just to become to show up where in places where people are so you can be seen and noticed and all that.
All right, I can do that.
Yeah. And there's a lover in your life by the end of April, I would be willing to bet.
Okay. That sounds good.
Now,
great.
I don't know how long. I don't know. There's not. It's possible, I should say this, it's possible that marriage could come from that. It's possible that you could get married this year even. Because the card that represents having a wonderful home is also a card of marriage.
Oh.
But it's not a guarantee by any means, and there's other meanings. So it's something you can put energy into, but I definitely see a lover coming into your life, as long as you're just available for that.
All right, well, my light's on.
Well, excellent. That's all that it takes.
And
the light's on, and it's a nice light, and it's warm inside. Come on in out of the cold.
Right. Well, I'm planning on moving to New Mexico in a couple, like April 1st kind of a thing.
BBS Radio.com.
welcome back. I guess we're having some little technical blurbs, which is interesting because Mercury is not retrograde anymore. It just went direct a day ago or so. But it seems like Mercury's retrograde the way things are happening tonight. But, you know, I'm flexible. We can just flow with whatever's happening. So now we can talk to Winston. I don't know if you heard me introduce him, but he's from Nova Scotia. His birthday is July 2nd, 1969. Are you there, Winston?
Yes, I am, Robert. Good evening.
Thanks for being patient.
Oh, no problem. You're always worth the wait.
loved
your little chat there on consciousness there tonight. And the reason for calling is we're trying to allow ours to open a little bit, myself and my wife. And we're planning a move, selling our home and planning a move, and just kind of letting things flow, I guess you would call it. I was just looking at my life spread in your book and trying to figure out if there are particular cards that are associated with moving, or do they vary for each card?
Well, moves generally are fives.
Fives.
But there's other cards that can indicate it. Like a nine can be a move also, because it's an ending of being one place, and, you know, it depends on how you're experiencing the move. The cards will show up that sort of correspond with how you're experiencing what the move means to you personally.
Okay.
So you would look in your own cards and your wife's cards. I mean, for you, it may not even be that significant. Like, I don't even see any fives between now and your birthday, right?
Right.
So it's not like, but I do see eights and tens in Uranus. And Uranus is the plan, is the period of the year that rules real estate. So, like, if you had some plans to sell a house or something along those lines, those are very good influences for that to be very successful during that period. So, you know, it just depends on how you're looking at it, because the cards are not objective. They're actually subjective.
Okay.
It's not really what's happening. It's what is happening to you,
mm-hmm.
how you're experiencing what's happening. That's what the cards are showing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, you know, for example, when a person dies, there could be all kinds of cards. There's no one card that really means death, which we traditionally will say, oh, the Ace of Spades is a death card. But people die with fives. Like, it was a journey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or people die with the Nine of Diamonds. Oh, I lost all my stuff.
Okay.
You know, it depends on...
another question I had for you. When you do die and you come back again, are you the next suit? Are you the next card in the deck?
That's funny. You're the second person today to ask that question. that's a funny coincidence. And I get asked that question frequently because they go, you know, if I go, hey, I'm a six, am I going to be a seven next time?
Hmm.
You know, and was I a five last time? Well, I can't say with any kind of authority what I can just tell you what I think, because I don't have any memory of, you know, my previous life.
Past life.
Don't know what I was then and how I got here to be what I am this year, but this lifetime. But my sense of it is that before we're incarnated, we basically take stock of our spiritual progress up to this point, and we make a decision on some level as to what birthday and what card would best suit our spiritual growth from this point forward. That's my sense.
Okay.
You know, like, because you might have, like, made a lot of progress with your particular card that you have this lifetime, and
mm-hmm.
so then you would work on entirely new karma that was still remaining to be looked at for the next lifetime, perhaps. See?
Okay.
There are some... indications with some birth cards, there are some indications of what we were before. Like sometimes people who are nines, for example, usually they had a powerful lifetime before, and they might have been an eight or a king or a queen, somebody who was really powerful. This is indicated by them being a nine. But we can't tell for every single card what their card was before.
Mm-hmm. That's my wife, actually. She's a nine. Nine of clubs.
Nine of diamonds?
No, nine of clubs.
9 o'clock. Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. That's great. You guys have a great match.
Yes, we're very compatible.
Yeah.
Very compatible.
I mean, Nine of Clubs women who are very sexy and all, and they're destined to be with King of Diamonds men. A lot
well,
of them.
That's excellent. No, we're looking at it as a new adventure in our life now, and we're kind of parting our ways with our old past and looking at starting something totally new in a different part of Canada. So we're very excited
nice.
About it.
Yeah, I don't see anything to hold you back. I mean, you know, there's always a certain amount of uncertainty when you go from a stable situation to a new situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's natural to be a little concerned, you know, or, you know, having fear about, you know, is it all going to work out? That's natural to have that.
Mm-hmm. I think we're more excited in order for newness to arrive into our life. So I think it's going to be wonderful.
Oh, well, fantastic. That sounds really good. Sounds great.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Robert, for taking my call.
You're welcome, Winston. Thanks for being so patient.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, our next caller is, she's called before. She's from New Mexico. Her name is Joey. She is an Aries. April 13th, 1968. Are you there, Joey?
I'm here.
Data
How
diamond.
Are you?
Good.
Great. Well, since I've last spoken to you about 5 months ago, my life has changed radically. And
wow.
I relocated, as you can see, from Long Beach to New Mexico.
Yeah, that's pretty radical.
Yeah. Very different. Very different.
And what part of New Mexico are you in? What part of New Mexico are you in?
Albuquerque.
Oh, okay. I've lived there before.
West side. It's beautiful here.
Yeah.
But a lot
more in California. You're a mile high there, like in Denver. You're high up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I'm here is because I made a bad business decision last August. And it was a spiritual journey, though. And I met a lot of wonderful people along the way. So it wasn't as tragic as it could have been.
I think I talked to you about that.
Huh?
Yeah, I think I remember talking to you about that. Before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, because of that decision, you know, I lost a lot of money, yada, 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 and so I had to move here. And so now I'm trying to rebuild and get reestablished. So I wanted to see if you could help me out with any, if you see anything up in the near future for, you know, business-wise, financial-wise. I've been interviewing at a lot of companies here. A lot of companies that are moving here to Albuquerque, actually. So they're not really, they haven't opened their doors just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I'm panicking a little bit about the financial
situation. Well, you've been really challenged. See, you have the Seven of Diamonds long range this year, Joey.
Yeah. Yeah.
The year I had that card, and I did have it, was the year when I became totally broke.
I am.
Yeah. And I made a major transformation around money that year. Because the Seven of Diamonds can blow the opposite direction and can bring you great wealth.
Totally. Well, you see I'm coming up to my Neptune period on the 20th, which I'll have a Seven of Diamonds.
The cards aren't going to do it. The cards aren't going to do it for you. The cards aren't going to help you with this at all. The Seven of Diamonds is already there. That's what's helping you. You have to make the shift, Joey. Have you read my book, The Big Money Book, yet?
I have.
Okay, well, you better be practicing that right now. This is the time.
I do my gratitude journal, and yeah, I'm great. I've been taken care of this whole year. I haven't missed a meal yet.
So you know, this is the time to really, because you have a Seven of Diamonds there. For that to turn around, it may or may not show up in the cards. My transformation happened in my Saturn period.
Well, yeah, my Saturn period was horrible. Three of clubs.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Four was horrible.
And three of diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was very difficult.
That was the worst period of the year, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now I'm coming up on a ten of diamond and a seven of diamond again for Neptune.
Yeah, that's right. It's still up in the air for you, Joey. It's still up to you. You haven't quite hit that prosperity point yet. You can, though. It's not denied. It's just that you haven't got there yet. Okay? You could. You could do it before your birthday.
I need to. What about me?
You need to for yourself, for your own, for your life.
Well, I feel blessed.
Well, good.
I feel blessed, and I've met some wonderful people over the past couple months, and I feel good. I'm just waiting for it to show up.
Well, then, see, that's not feeling good, see.
No? Okay, I'm confused then, Robert.
Yeah. There's still something missing, Joey, because money is meant to flow to everybody.
See? Exactly.
And if it's not flowing to you, no matter how good you feel, you still haven't gotten it yet. I just need you to see, just acknowledge that. It's not a sin or a crime. It's just the way it is, okay, right now. Be willing to say, okay, this is how it is now. It could change, but this is how it is. See?
All right.
Be honest with you. Not that you should focus on how much you don't have, but you should be honest about, you know, still not flowing.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling you. I don't know what I'm missing. I don't know what the missing link is.
Yeah. Well, at least you're open to learning about it, you know, to receiving something about that. Okay? So my suggestion is, you know, see, when you think about it for a moment, whatever it is you think you're not getting right now, whatever that is, you know, not that much money or whatever, okay, that is the extent of your poverty consciousness in action. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Like, that's it, right there. The thought form that, oh, when's my money going to come in? There it is. That's it. That's it. That's what's standing in the way of you and having all this money. When's my money going to come in?
Poverty consciousness is the issue.
And looking for an easy way out, you know, looking for the cards to make it happen or something outside of you, you know. It has to happen inside. I mean, this is a perfect time for you to really pray and to get really deep inside of yourself and really figure out, why are you blocking it? See?
Well,
I'm not asking you that question. I'm not asking you to answer that question. I'm saying that's the question you need to answer for yourself.
Well, my whole life has always been either, you know, bounty or scarcity. It's like in cycles. I've made fabulous money before, then it's like quiet, then I made fabulous money, then it's quiet.
Well, I would say that even though you've had ups and downs, you've never really ever had true wealth, which is the kind of wealth that comes from inside. You might have had all this money at one time and not another, but you never really had the real wealth, which is the kind of wealth that can't be taken away.
Right.
And that's what you're being asked to evolve to a higher level right now. That's what the Seven of Diamonds is all about, evolving to a higher level. Okay? And it means letting go of the way you've been doing it, approaching it, the way you've been thinking, all that. You have to become, instead of an I want person, you have to become an I have person.
Okay.
So what do you have right now, Joey?
Okay. I hear you.
What do you have? I mean, and really, do you really appreciate what you have? Do you really see that you have a lot right now? Like, who are you comparing yourself to? Your past? You know, or somebody else? Or something you saw on television, I don't know. You know, people with poverty consciousness never have enough, no matter how much they have. They're always comparing themselves to something else that's greater.
Hmm.
And You can be wealthy with any amount of money.
I hear you.
It's not the external, it's the state of mind.
Okay.
So, I mean, I care a lot about you, Joey, believe it or not. I just know that this is something that nobody can do for you. Cards can't do it for you. You know, you have to do it. It's your relationship with yourself. It's something you have to look at. And this is a good time for you. Your cards for the rest of the year. That Seven of Diamonds is still there in Neptune. It's your last chance, Joey.
Along with the Ten of Diamonds.
Yeah. It's all going to shift. You're going to call me in a few months and say, Robert, you won't believe what happened.
I know. Okay. Well, I'm just going to have to journal more because I do my gratitude page, and I know I'm blessed compared to a lot of people that I know.
Do you take time every day to look around and see all the good things you have? Do you really, like, take time to look and just take it in?
You can't help to. When you're in New Mexico and the sun is going down and it hits the side of the mountain.
But not only that, but just the physical things that you have too, Joey. You know?
Yeah.
You know that 90% of the Earth's population doesn't have a refrigerator?
I know. I tell people that all the time. I know that. See, that's the thing.
That's not the kind that makes a difference, Joey. That's intellectually knowing. That's not knowing something. To know something is to make it real. It becomes an experience, not just a thought. Knowing is not a thought. It's an experience. Think about that, okay?
Well,
knowing is not a thought.
I mean, when I turn on my water faucet and think that I didn't have to walk 2 miles to carry this water back, you know, in a vase on my head, I mean,
yeah,
I'm appreciative. I have friends from Africa, and I know the hardship, and I don't know where the disconnect is, but I'll just have to meditate more and journal more.
Well, look at your expectation, though, Joey. Look at the expectation that you have. That may be the problem, see? You know, like, what is it that you're not getting, see? Just, you know, take a look.
I will.
There's an expectation that, oh, it's going to be big money again or something like that, see? You're a native diamond. You love to spend money.
I do. That's right.
But you're going to have to, like, kind of get... You're being spiritually tested here. And this is only good for you because you are spiritual yourself. If you weren't spiritual, it wouldn't make any difference. This would just be a bad year, and it would pass, and next year would be something else. You know.
No, I want to get the lesson. I want to get the lesson so I can stop the cycle of lack.
You still got a couple months for your birthday to get this.
Okay.
So it's not over yet. Next year is going to be way different. Whole different focus for you. It's going to be wonderful. But do your work while you have the chance. You have two more months.
Right, yeah, I want to.
3 more months.
All right, well, maybe I'll call you for a reading in the next couple of weeks and see if we can get to the bottom of it.
I might have something that could open up more understanding. It's certainly possible. I'd be happy to do it if that's what you decided to do here.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
All right, you're very welcome. Bye-bye. Yeah, I've been there. Seven and Diamonds long range can be quite difficult, and it's different for each person, of course, the exact circumstances that you'll be faced with. But... if you're a spiritual person, it's going to see that you deal with your poverty consciousness. That's the wonderful thing, because it has a result. It has a good story at the end if you go through it. Okay. So we're going to take another break here, and if there's any callers, I don't see any callers on the message board from Seth right this moment. If there's calls, we're going to keep going, otherwise we might end early tonight. On this break, we're going to play Karna's song. When we come back, we'll take your calls if you're here. We'll be right back. Welcome back. That was the song Karna Song from my CD, Bhakti Rock. Hope you enjoyed that. We do have a couple callers. Our first caller is from Southern California. Her name is Christy Love, born July 20th, 1968. Are you there, Christy?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad to finally be able to talk to you.
Yeah. You had emailed me, I think, right? I can't remember exactly, but I think you did.
Yeah. I'm Christy from Altadena, actually. I talked to you so long ago when I first bought the book, and you were so gracious, took my call, and just helped me through my little period that I was going through. I was worried at the time because I had those nine of spades coming up, and you told me it'd be okay, and it was. So, glad you were right.
Oh, good. So what's on your mind this evening, Christy?
Well, I just want to make a comment on consciousness. I have just been in a period of revelation where consciousness has just been elevated, and I'm so grateful for the time that the universe has given me to be with myself and with my computer and just to really get into some of the wonderful videos on YouTube and just expand my consciousness, which I'm really preparing kind of for 2012, and I'm really trying to do everything spiritually that I can do to ensure my ascension, and I'm just working with my conscious, elevating it, doing like the monatomic gold and the Kangen water and the electromagnetic frequency machine and just all kinds of wonderful things, because the Egyptians said that it was not only about our body feeding our flesh body, but feeding our etheric body and making sure that our conscious and our subcon, our brain, our pineal gland, our, you know, the DMT, knowing about all these things and feeding those things, because there's, you know, the body, and then there's the, you know, like I said, the ethereal body. So, you know, so it's just mm-hmm. been really awesome for me, just the journey that I've been
good.
On with my conscious. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
So,
thanks for sharing that.
Uh-huh.
Did you have any questions?
Now, the other question, yeah, that I had was this year, I just turned 40, and I have the Eight of Diamonds in my long-range spread. I've been working on this business of mine for quite a while. It's a multimedia company. I've designed and produced a DVD magazine. Kind of hasn't been done before. I've just been waiting on or hoping to get, you know, money to really launch it successfully. It's in all the stores and all this great stuff. But this year I'm almost to the point where I'm ready to say, well, if it's going to manifest, it's going to manifest, and if it's not, I have to move on, because I've spent so many years of my life trying to perfect it and get it to this perfect point. But, you know, I can do everything, but I haven't seemed to be able to get the money that it really takes. I mean, I've got it in the stores, I've got all the celebrities on it, I've got all these great things going for it, but I just need that final boost. And like I said, this year is the year where I'm kind of like at a crossroads, where I'm like, well, it's either going to happen or it's not, but I've got this amazing 10 of diamonds in my Jupiter life spread, finally, it's come, and it's like, I don't want to give up at this point, but I'm also kind of like not experiencing life the way I think I should, because I've been waiting for so long for it to happen. So I just want to know if you saw anything or what you think.
Yeah, I mean, you have the Eight of Diamonds long range, which is a good card to have. Usually that does indicate finances and money to spend on something, you know. And you're in your Jupiter period right now, and you have a Two of Diamonds, which means important and successful business partnerships, like arrangements. So it sounds to me like the success of your project depends on other people. You know?
That's true. I'm waiting on an investor right now to come through.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, not just investors, but also the people that can bring it out. Like, See, for example, I'll give you an example. When I first wrote my first book, which was called The Atlantean Oracle, that was the name I gave it back then. Okay, I had the book written, but now it came time to see if I could get it into the bookstores, okay?
Right.
And find out then, you know, the next step would be, well, once it's in the bookstores, does anybody buy it, would be the next step. But the first step was just getting it into the bookstores. So I had to make relationships with people in the business that could assist me getting it into the bookstores, right? That was the job I had to do when I reached that stage. I had to take off my hat of being a writer and all of a sudden be like connecting with people. So I went to a big show, a big bookseller's convention, and I met people there, and I made just the right exact hookups that I needed. And that year I had a Two of Diamonds long range. See? Because that's what that means. It means connecting with the right people to have your business or your enterprise be more successful. That's what it means. So I would be focusing on that right now, you know, looking for who can bring this beside you, who can help you bring it. And it'll be a mutually rewarding thing. It has to be mutually rewarding. Like, they would make some money and you would make some money. You see?
Right. And that's, I'm exactly in that right this second.
Okay, great. So you're doing the right thing. So just hang in there a little bit longer. If it doesn't work out, you can always let go of it, you know, on your next birthday, you know? I would continue if I were you, though. If I were you, I would continue.
Looking up. And then also, I'm hoping that it would lead to me moving to Georgia. And I see the move card. I see the five of cards.
Yeah, you have move cards. You definitely have move cards. But I think that the work that you do has to be the forerunner. In other words, if you move, it has to be because that's what's good for your work. Does that make sense?
It is. It is.
Oh. So like,
it all goes hand in hand.
If it was beneficial for your business to move there, then it's the right thing to do. See? I lived in L.A. for a while. I hate L.A. Okay? I hate it.
Right.
The place is disgusting.
I'm trying to get out,
it's
too.
It's the dirtiest, most crowded, most terrible air. I hated it, but I moved there because it was really good for business.
Right.
And once I made a little money, I got the heck out of there.
Yeah.
Because I don't like living in a place that's not meant to live in. You know?
Right.
So, but you know, you can have whatever you want, but right now you're just growing a business. You need to like go where the business is good and, you know, temporarily, and make a success of it wherever you're called. See? Wherever you're being called to be, you be there. If it's going to help your project. So
and
if
the
Atlanta,
result card, is that usually the final result of your year?
Yeah, but it's not just a result, it's also a blessing. It's a blessed result, not just a result. It's a good thing. It's always a positive thing. It's always some reward at the end of the year, like a gift. Okay? So you have a Jack of Diamonds, and underneath that's a Five of Hearts. You don't know there's a Five of Hearts, because there is a Five of Hearts there, which means you're going to move, okay? Just hang in there a little longer. Okay, I'm going to let you go and take my next caller. Great talking to you.
Okay, Robert, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good night. Blessings. All right, our next caller is calling from Montana. It's Melva. I think that's a girl, but I'm not sure. And
that's
her birthday
right.
is today. Hi, Melva. Happy
Hi.
Birthday.
Thank you.
And you are 67 years old today. I won't tell anybody.
I am, yes. At
so
least, chronological age, heart age.
Chronologically only, of course. but you were an old person when you were very young, though, because you're a double spade, you know.
Yes. Now, I'm not real familiar with your system, and I'm new to this website everything, so.
Okay, I'll be easy on you then.
Give me a brief fill-in of what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you... Did you hear the first part of the show when I first
came
on? No,
I didn't.
But I talked about your birthday, you know. I talked in general about... Yeah, and I mentioned all those... And I mentioned all the wonderful celebrities that are born today. You know, people like Farrah Fawcett and Christy Brinkley and some other folks.
Yes, and don't forget the groundhogs.
And it's Groundhog Day, yes.
Yes.
And one of my best friends, actually, is born today, too.
Uh-huh.
Along with Graham Nash, Tommy Smothers, and Shakira is born today.
Ah.
Yeah. So, you are a ten of spades. This is a super card, like a super worker.
Mm-hmm.
A super doer, you know?
Yes,
big on doing things. That's the spades of the workers, and all the workaholic cards are spades suits.
Uh huh.
Okay? And you're a 10. 10 means a lot of work. There's a lot of stuff to do.
Oh, and I've been busy, I'll tell you.
I'm sure you are always.
Four lifetimes in this one.
I bet you're always busy.
Oh, yeah, I never run out of things.
Yeah.
But I throw in enough fun stuff.
Oh, do you? Oh, good. I'm glad you
Oh, yeah.
That.
I'm not a dedicated nose to the grindstone person.
Well,
I intersperse it with lots of fun.
That's good, because it can get to be too much. You know, it can be too much sometimes.
Yeah.
It's work, work, work. And I mean, the spade suit also is the suit of health issues, but your card doesn't usually have those as much, you know. It's not
My whole life has been centered around health issues. I spent 40 years dealing with it. But it came early. I was misdiagnosed, and as a result of that, I experienced a lot of different healers and alternative methods, and always had to search out and find, you know, my own path, because there was never the abundance to pay allopathically, so I just took another route and
uh-huh.
searched and had lots of experiences, lots of moves, lots of unexpected moves, you know, like in 2 weeks I'm moving. Oh, really? Yep. That's the way it is, you know. And so, and I just moved this summer, and I feel that this is temporary.
Well, just imagine for a moment that there's a part of you inside that really likes to move. And
yeah, I like to meet new people. I like diversity.
Yeah, well, I think there's a part of you that actually has those moves happen. Even though
uh-huh.
you may seem like it just happens to you,
uh-huh.
I would say there's part of you that actually is wanting that, whether you're aware of it or not, you know. We all have parts of ourselves that we're not particularly aware of.
Right.
They're operating in the background, and we don't really see them all the time, but they're just as powerful anyway. They're in operation. So
uh-huh.
you're a five. See, also, fives are very restless. They crave new experiences.
Ah. Okay.
And you're a five of spades, the most strong five of all the fives. The spades
really?
Are the strongest suit. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, you might as well just like say, yeah, I love new experiences and just get on with it, you know.
Yeah, I do. But I just wrecked my car. I don't know. See, I want to move to a warmer climate. I would like to move where I feel more comfortable with the people around me. Originally, I was born here, but I've left 7 times and been moved back. And I just feel like the energy isn't compatible with me anymore here.
Yeah, well, maybe you need to find a new place. I mean, you're an Aquarian, and Aquarians they need to be around their family, like their soul group, you know?
Yeah, see, I don't have a known soul group, and I wasn't born into my soul group, and so I'm totally, it's been a solo journey.
Well, why don't you make that your goal, to find your soul group and connect with them? I don't see why you couldn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to make that a conscious intention. It's not going to happen just by you
going
from one place to the next and not being aware of what you're doing. It's got to be consciously done.
Right, right.
You know, so you set that goal and watch what happens. This is going to be a really good year for you. And if you pay attention, if you have any interest at all in knowing what your deeper purpose is in your life, this year can bring
that. Yeah, I do.
Well, then all you have to do is...
I seem to be, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. And at this age, I just seem disconnected from all the past tools and techniques. It's like, I learned those, but this is a new time and a new energy, and I'm looking at a blank slate, and I just really not sure how to fill it out because
I don't understand
the world around me because the tools I used that were so successful before are obsolete now, you know?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So my suggestion to you is, be okay, number one, with the blank space, okay?
Uh-huh.
Just be willing to hang out in that for a little while.
Okay.
It's not your nature to hang out there, and you're uncomfortable in that position. I know that for a fact because you're a 10, and you're used to being a super-doer, and you always know what's next and what you're going to do and all that.
Right.
But really, right now, you need answers, and answers will not come through doing. They'll have to come through... The being part of you. You have
this
to get in touch with yourself on a deeper level.
Uh-huh.
You will be moving. I have no doubt about that. You're going to be moving.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. Don't be concerned. It's all going to take place in your life. This is a year for you to make a big change and just be open to the change that your life can become this year. Be open to the change you can make. And be willing to let go of anything that's old stuff, you know?
Okay. Right.
You know, whatever seems to be asked to let go of, just say, take it. I don't need it anymore.
Yeah, I do feel that I really need to simplify and narrow it down and not hang on.
You know, it's out of the emptiness. It's out of the emptiness that we are filled.
Uh-huh.
To attain that emptiness, hang out there a little bit is all you got to do.
Uh-huh.
It won't be long. You'll know where you're going and why and where and
How do you see abundance for this year?
It's not an issue.
Not an issue. Okay.
Not an issue unless you want to make one out of it.
No, I've had enough of that.
It's not an issue. It's not a problem. You know,
things
you
always seem to turn up. So.
That's right. You just stay focused on the important things and let money take care of itself.
Okay. All right.
That's the trick for you, and it's probably always worked for you in the past.
And that very unexpected ways.
Well,
as long
as that's God's work.
Pardon?
That's God's work, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
That's his job.
I've had many miracles.
Yeah, that's his job, not yours. Let him do his job and you do your job.
So is there anything in regards to my birthday and this year that is like with the planets, you know, is there certain
I just told you some significant things.
Right.
I told you that you're going to be finding your deeper purpose this year. That's the most important thing I could tell anybody. And I don't get to tell it to people very often.
Okay.
And I told you that you're going to be moving. That's probably going to be in April of this year.
Okay.
No, that's a very likely time for it.
Is it?
If not then, at the latest, it would be July, August.
Uh-huh.
That's the latest it would be.
Okay.
And that's what I have to tell you. Now, you can get a copy of my book, and you can look at all the cards for your year. It's called Cards of Your Destiny. It's available in all the bookstores, on my website.
Okay, great.
I would like to learn
more about your system.
It's simple to learn. You can learn it in about an hour, the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did tarot in the past, and Pardon?
We don't even use cards.
Oh, don't you?
No, there's no cards.
How do you do it then?
Well, from your birthday. You are a card based on your birthday.
Oh, I see.
It's like a straw.
Oh, how interesting.
See, Melba, if you take the calendar of the Earth and look at it, it's the deck of cards.
Right.
52 cards, 52 weeks, 13 cards in each suit, 13 full moons every year.
Right.
If you add up every card in the deck and add the number on the card, add them all up, it's 365.
Uh-huh.
Get it?
Yes, I certainly do. Very interesting.
It's all mathematical. And this system is the most accurate one you'll ever find, and you don't even touch cards because every card for your whole life is already in the book.
Yeah.
So you'll enjoy it.
I will. I'm going to get your book for sure.
So you're the second, you're actually the third person I've spoken to today whose birthday is today.
Is that right?
So happy birthday.
All right.
It's funny because another woman that called me earlier today called to order all the books, and she was going through a big change and ready to, just jump into something new, and
she feels
attracted to this, and, she's a different age of you, but it was the same issue, and it was a wonderful exchange of energy that we had, and so happy birthday, and call us back in a few months and let me know what's going on.
I will do that. Thank you so much, Robert. God bless.
All right. All right. Good night, Mom.
Good night.
Bye-bye. And that concludes our show for this evening. I hope everybody enjoyed being here with me, and I certainly enjoyed having you guys here. And we had a few technical glitches there in the middle, but that's all in the past. We'll be back next week, same time. And the song that we always conclude the show with is Gayatri, this powerful chant from ancient times, put to a little bit more modern music, but not too much. Still kind of old sounding. I hope you enjoy it. It's very relaxing and meditative. So have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week. Good night.
Savitur varinya, Bhargo Devasya Vinaya.